We're going to read from 1 Samuel 17, verses 24 to 54. This is a passage or a section of scripture that will be very familiar to you. It's the story of David and Goliath. First Samuel 17, beginning in verse 24. All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is Goliath, fled from him and were much afraid. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel." And David said to the men who stood by him, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God?" And the people answered him in the same way, "So shall it be done to the man who kills him." Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not but a word?" And he turned away from him together toward another and spoke in the same way, and the people answered him again as before. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." And David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor. And he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them." So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the fields." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I can't come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistine fell on the way from Shearim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his armor in his tent. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The story of David and Goliath is one of, if not the most popular stories in all of the Bible. It's also probably the most abused and misapplied stories in all the Bible. I love sports, and many of you know that about me. I remember as a kid, I would apply this story that I learned in VBS and in Sunday school. I would apply this David and Goliath type story to some imaginary scene in my backyard. Me taking the role of little insignificant David up against an all-star professional athlete, throwing and completing pass after pass against a lockdown cornerback like Deion Sanders. Or maybe imagining myself on the basketball court, me shooting the game-winning shot over Larry Bird or Michael Jordan. That was how David and Goliath, the story of David and Goliath, applied to my little world. I couldn't see at that time, and with that level of understanding, I couldn't see how Jesus Christ came into the picture in the story of David and Goliath. I couldn't see the overtones, the religious overtones that the story possessed. But you see, what I did, and what many of us tend to do when we think of this well-known story, is we trivialize it. Recorded for us here in 1 Samuel 17 is a story about two hearts: the crippling heart of fear and the courageous heart of faith. Behind the fear and the faith depicted in this story is an epic spiritual battle, a fierce engagement in spiritual warfare. This is a story of worship and idolatry. It's a first commandment issue. The battlefield is the soul of the Israelite nation. I've titled the sermon Fear and Faith in the Valley of Elah. And I've structured it based on that title. We're going to look at the heart of fear, and then we're going to look at the heart of faith. The heart of fear, as depicted in the story of David and Goliath, primarily how that fear has gripped the Israelites and their king, Saul. What's going on in Israel here? We see at the beginning of chapter 17 a picture of these two armies who have gathered on the battlefield. Saul and his men, the Israelites, on one side of this valley, and their nemesis, the Philistines, on the opposite side. The battle is over land, the land of Canaan. This is an ancient struggle. It comes from covenants that God had made with Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and also is repeated in the covenant made with Moses. These two covenants, the covenant with Abraham and the covenant with Moses, are related to each other. They're not unique and separate from each other, but they're speaking to one reality. And they both mention God's promise to his people of the land of Canaan. He had given it to them, and he expects them to go and take it. That's why these armies are gathered in the Valley of Elah. Israel had a God-given mandate to take the land. The books of Joshua, Judges, and 1 Samuel are dominated by this aspect of the Old Covenant. And in the midst of this, as these two armies are gathered, a dominant figure is introduced, Goliath. Look at verses 4 to 7. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. So we have this picture, this detailed description of this massive, massive man. We're told of his height. And to translate what those 6 cubits and a span mean, in the commentaries I've read, the more conservative interpretation is that man was at least 7 foot tall. And then others have said all the way up to 11 feet tall. So he was enormous. He was unusually tall. He was covered from head to toe in armor that weighed about 125 pounds. He had this massive spear that he carried with him into battle. The head of the spear, the tip of the spear, was made of metal that weighed about 15 pounds. Could you imagine the strength it would take to hurl that at an enemy in battle? He was an expert in warfare. He was seasoned. He was an experienced warrior. And he taunts the Israelites on the battlefield. The Israelites focused on this great man. How could you not be, right? Focused on this giant. They're gripped in fear. Their world is dominated by Goliath. Look at verses 11 and 24. In verse 11, after this description of Goliath and after his taunting of the Israelites, we read their response. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And then look at verse 24. The Philistine comes out again, and he's been doing this for 40 straight days. Coming out to the battlefield and offering them a one-on-one opportunity. If they can beat him, then he gives them the land. In verse 24, we read this, "All the men of Israel, when they saw the man, that is Goliath, they fled from him, and they were much afraid." The children of God, the Israelites, were living in fear of an uncircumcised Philistine. And I want us to consider, as we look at this text, some of the characteristics of fear. I've got three characteristics that I want to point out. The first is in verse 24, that first verse we read. Fear, we're told, caused the Israelites to flee from him. Now, what were they supposed to be doing there? What was their commission? What was the divine mandate? They were to go to war. They were to engage in military conflict, and they were to remove the Philistines from the land. So one thing fear does is it causes us to flee from God-given duties. And I think in our own day, what is the commission of the church? We are to go into the world. We are to engage culture. We are to bring the gospel to our neighbors and our communities. And, you know, as America was primarily Christian, that was easy to do. But now, as we see a tendency in our country to move culturally to more of a secular mindset, do you ever feel yourself gripped in fear? What are they going to think if I challenge their perspective on human sexuality? If I challenge their perspective on idolatry and on other world religions? If I come with a different view of morality? If I share with them that they're sinners in need of a Savior and there's only one way, Jesus Christ? I think we can relate to that. There is fear that grips us, and it keeps us from doing the things we're called to do in the Great Commission. Another characteristic of fear is that it focuses our attention on a perceived problem and not on a God-orchestrated solution. Fear distorts our worldview. What was the outlook of the Israelites? They were focused on Goliath. He was a major, major problem that started to dominate the way that they thought about life and the world. Fear pushes God away. It causes us to forget God. It's interesting, isn't it? Had Saul and the Israelites forgotten their history in Egypt? How God delivered them, not from a little tribe like the Philistines, but a great nation, the Egyptians, a kingdom that was mighty and powerful. Had they forgotten what God did? The 10 mighty plagues that he demonstrated in Egypt? Had they forgotten Jericho? How they simply marched around the city of Jericho 7 days straight and then 7 times on the last day and blew trumpets and the walls fell down? Had they forgotten? Yeah, they had forgotten. Fear drove out of their minds the recollection of God's goodness to them. Had they forgotten Deborah and Gideon and Samson during the time of the judges? What it would have been if Samson was on the battlefield that day? He would have relished time with Goliath, wouldn't he? Fear causes us to flee from God-given duties. Fear focuses our attention on a perceived problem instead of a God-orchestrated solution. And thirdly, fear drives out love. Look at verses 28 to 30. David comes in and he's like, well, what's going on in the camp of Israel? Why are we scared of this uncircumcised Philistine? Why is everybody afraid? Don't you know who your God is? And his brother rebukes him. Verse 28. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against him. Faith-driven anger against David. And he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? You're always complaining. You're always on my case. Maybe that's just what older brothers do to younger brothers. Fear drives out love. It produces this bunker mentality. It encourages passivity. It results in maintaining the status quo. Everyone in the camp would have been happy to wake up on morning number 41. Goliath had come out 40 straight days, and taunted them. They would have been happy to just keep doing that. But David shook them up, and their fear didn't like it. None in the army of Saul wanted to engage the enemy. To suggest fighting drew anger from the soldiers, particularly from David's brother, Eliab. Eugene Peterson, in his book on the life of David, says this: "The moment we permit evil to control our imaginations, dictate the way we think, and shape our responses, we at the same time become incapable of seeing the good and the true and the beautiful." You take a church that is lethargic spiritually, that is fat and happy, so to speak, and you start to encourage them to fulfill the Great Commission, to go out into their community, to engage people with the gospel, and what kind of response do you think you might get? Maybe one very similar to the one David gets from Eliab. Fear drives out love. And the key here is to understand that fear, the fear of the Israelites, is a form of worship. It's a negative form. It's the opposite of praise, but it is a form of worship. What's going on with Saul and the Israelites and Eliab, the brother of David, is they are idol worshiping, and their idol is Goliath. Goliath dictates how the Israelites are acting, not God. What does God want them to do? He wants them to engage and to remove the Philistines from the land. But that's not what they're doing. They're following the unwritten commands, the ethical standards, not of God, but of Goliath. He dominates their hearts, not God. They're not scared of God. They're scared of Goliath. He rules their world. He's dictating everything in this story until David enters the scene. The story of David and Goliath is a story of spiritual warfare. It's a story of God versus demonic idols. Goliath's taunts are religious in nature. Look at verse 10. When he taunts the Israelites, he says, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." He's not just attacking Saul and the men. He is attacking the God of Israel. He is defying their deity. Now you may say, well, it didn't say that in verse 10. But look at how David interprets Goliath's taunts in verse 45. David says this: "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Who does he defy? Not Saul, not the soldiers of Israel, the God of Israel. This is a battle of idolatry. He curses Israel's God. Now, let me ask you this. What is the giant, the Goliath, that strikes fear in you, that dominates your imagination, your focus, that keeps you from doing what God calls you to do, that paralyzes you spiritually? Maybe it's the coronavirus right now. Maybe you're so focused on the coronavirus that that is dominating everything that you think and do. Maybe it's the threat of the coronavirus to your health. Or maybe, for most of us, maybe it's the threat of the coronavirus to our finances. What person or problem or difficulty has crowded God out of your life? has started dictating your actions, when you identify it, you've identified your idol, or at least one of them. What do we do when that case occurs? We're going to find out that David experiences some of these things. We all do. As John Calvin says, our hearts are an idol factory. What do? Well, we repent and we return to Jesus. We look to the author and the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he went to the cross to pay for that sin as well. So we see in this story the heart of fear. And now we want to see the positive aspect, the positive dimension, the heart of faith as it's exhibited in the life of David. There is hope for Israel in 1 Samuel 17. Saul has failed as a leader, and the whole nation is in jeopardy of failing to achieve God's objective of conquering the land of Canaan. Then David enters the camp. He's on an errand for his father. He's bringing supplies to his brothers. He's very innocent. He's not really looking for trouble. He's just doing the bidding of his father. But he is unaffected by the fear of Saul and the others. He is full of the Spirit of God. He is full of faith. Why is that? What's different about David? Well, I think we need to reflect on his life. We know that he was spending his time in solitude, caring, shepherding the sheep of his family. He had a lot of time to spend in meditation and prayer with God. And based on his spiritual DNA that we see in a lot of the Psalms, that's probably what he was doing. He was reflecting on his Creator. He was embracing his God. He was studying Scripture. Our minds are often bombarded relentlessly by the things of this world. And we never take a chance to step back and to enjoy solitude with God, to think about the things of God, to meditate on the majesty of God. We need to step back. We need to develop the habit, the spiritual discipline to meditate, to pray, and to study on a regular basis. That is our spiritual meat and drink. And devoid of it, we become spiritually malnourished. And we're open to fear instead of faith. Those things are necessary for soul nourishment. David had time to reflect on God's promises, God's mighty deliverances of his people, and his tender care of him. That's why he keeps using this phrase when he refers to Goliath, the uncircumcised Philistine, the enemy of God. Why are we worried about Goliath? Again, quoting Peterson, he says of David, his imagination was so thoroughly God-dominated that he couldn't believe what he was seeing and hearing from his fellow Israelites. His worldview was consumed by God, by God's rule, by God's covenants, by God's ethical standards. And the outflow of that was this courageous faith. Now, as we looked at some characteristics of fear in the first point, we're going to look at some characteristics of faith. The first characteristic I want to mention is this, that faith looks for strength outside of itself. Look at verse 32. Little scrawny David, insignificant kid, no experience in warfare, no experience on the battlefield. He comes to Saul in verse 32, and he says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Where does this come from? Who does he think he is? What an outlandish claim for David to make. Very bold and courageous. But David's outlook and confidence wasn't based on his weaknesses, his inexperience, nor was it based on Goliath's massive stature, Goliath's innovative weaponry, or Goliath's experience. His hope was in one far greater, far more powerful, far more terrifying than Goliath could ever dream to be. Look at verse 45. We've already read this. David says, "You come to me with sword, spear, javelin." But look at what David comes with. He's not fighting with human, earthly weaponry. He says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head." What confidence he has. But it's not confidence in himself. It's not confidence in his ability to sling a stone. It is purely and beautifully directed at God and God alone. This is faith. Another characteristic of faith is that it is cultivated and it grows when it is applied throughout our lives. Why does David feel so confident? He feels confident because God has tested his faith and he has experienced God's faithfulness. Look at verse 34. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them. Why? For he has defied the armies of the living God." David, time and time again in his life experience as a shepherd boy, has his faith exercised in the power of God's care and protection of his father's sheep. Wild animals of great strength, like a lion and a bear, they don't scare David because he knows God is with him. His faith has been tested and tried and strengthened. And that's God's way. James chapter 1 verse 2 says this about difficulties in our lives. James writes, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials, when you meet lions and bears, when you meet trials of various kinds. Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." So along the path and the journey of life, God puts these tests. And the purpose of the tests, the obstacles, the difficulties, the trials, are to strengthen our faith. Do we really entrust ourselves to God when it looks like things are getting hard? When we experience the goodness of God and the deliverance of God, our faith grows. And the third thing I want to point out about faith, and I think it's very important here in this story, is that faith, the exercise of faith by one child of God, is uplifting and contagious to the whole community of God's people. Our life of faith is up and down. You remember in the New Testament, in the Gospels, the man who says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So there's this mixture. At times, our faith is strong. And at other times, we're dominated by the Goliath in our life, and our faith becomes weak and compressed. Jesus says to his own disciples, "Oh, you of little faith, And what we'll see as we're studying the life of David, he is very strong. This is a high point in the David story. But just a few chapters from now, we're going to see fear gripping the heart of David. Fear of Saul. Fear of the Philistines. And we'll see how he reacts to it. This is not always the level of faith that David experiences. So we have ups and downs. The Israelite community is in a down. Saul is in a low point of his faith in his God. The Israelites had experienced a significant lapse. And David challenged that and encouraged the faith of his brothers in Christ. Look at verse 52. So, to understand verse 52, we got to draw your attention back to verse 11. When Saul and Israel heard these things, Goliath and his taunts, when they heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Verse 24, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him and were much afraid. But now they see a different man. Goliath's head has been cut off. He is dead. They're looking at David. And look at the results of that to their faith. Look at verse 52. After David defeats Goliath, the champion of the Philistines is dead. Verse 52, the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Sharam as far as Gath and Ekron. What happened? They're like a new people. Instead of gripped by fear and paralyzed by fear and no longer doing the will of God, now they are doing the will of God. They're chasing after the enemies of God. They're clearing the land as they were commissioned to do. They look to David, a man of conquering faith. And it reminds us, when we get down, when we have a lapse of faith, you remember Hebrews chapter 11, that story of all of these people of faith? And then right in, as we get into Hebrews chapter 12, we're told this. We're not told to keep looking at David, but we are told to look to David and see through David someone greater, Jesus Christ. We are called by the author of Hebrews to look to the greater David, the true eternal King Jesus, who is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. May this encourage your heart. May it remind you of the characteristics of fear and what they do, and at the root cause, they are idolatry. And may it renew our faith as we look at the David and Goliath story. Renew our faith to do what God has commanded us to do. Amen.